Accession number 30066, Reel 2.
Even after war broke out, because, as I said, my father, my grandmother's niece lived in Luxembourg. By that time, they'd moved to Belgium. I used to write to Belgium. They used to forward my letters to Germany. And the same, they used to write to Belgium, and the letters came to me, until Belgium was invaded. What happened to my grandmother's niece and family, I've got no idea. I tried to find them after the war, but they just disappeared to the face of the earth. I haven't got a clue what happened to them.
I understand you very kindly given your letters to the Holocaust exhibition.
Yes, yes, they've got all those letters.
And I wondered, you know, if you could sort of give me some idea of what your parents were saying in this correspondence.
Well, they had to be very careful what they said, because it was censored.
Were you getting any idea of what was happening to them, do you think?
No, not really, because maybe they didn't want to tell me anyway, but also the letters were censored, so they had to be very careful what they said. We just said we're well, and I know they had to move you in that time, because the house was sold and they moved into they moved into the flat my grandmother's sister used to live. They died before, and the flat was empty, so that's where they moved to. But apart from that, they did not say anything, just said they're well. And what they were doing at the time, my mother was a tailoress. She had her own business before she got married. In those days, people had their clothes made. They didn't go. There wasn't a ready-made business sort of thing. If a woman wanted a good coat or that, she had it made. And my mother, who'd given up work when she got married, started up again doing for Jewish people that were emigrating or wanted something new. So she was the breadwinner then, because my father couldn't work anymore.
And you were getting an idea of this from their letters, I expect.
Yes,
Peter.
Yes.
Yes. Were you very worried about them, your parents? You know, did you...
I must have been.
Mm.
Yeah.
Were you hearing much about what was happening in Germany? As you know,
well, only what it said in the papers, really. Because, as I say, the letters were censored. Plus, I don't suppose they wanted to worry me anyway. So they didn't say much about what was happening.
Were you hoping that they would get visas, you know, for the United States?
Well, I was hoping they'd go to the United States, where I would have joined them. Because Mr. Pottle tried to get me over during the war, which I didn't know. He wrote to the it was, I forget what it was called, the people that got us out of the, it wasn't called Kinder Transport, but he wrote to them asking them to send me to the United States. I think that was in about 1942. And they wrote, I'm better off where I am. So I stayed here. I joined the forces, and I sort of, I didn't write to him, or he didn't write to me, sort of thing, but we lost touch with one another.
So you were saying you came to London in 1941,
yeah,
from Devon?
Yes.
Good. And until you came to 1941, what were you actually doing in Devon? What work were you doing?
I was working on a flower farm.
Yeah, all the time? From,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Still on the flower farm, yes. These flowers, was there still a demand for them in the war?
Well, it was daffodils, tulips, and tomatoes, greenhouses full of tomatoes. So there was a demand for them because I suppose people wanted something to take their mind off the war.
Yes, it's interesting that they continued to grow flowers when food was so important. But you're right, I would imagine it was so important to, yes, have some flowers.
Yes, there were fields of flowers and greenhouses of tomatoes.
How did you get on with the other workers? How did they treat you?
Oh, Devon? Fine. I just got on very well with them.
You didn't develop a lovely Devon accent, because I can understand that might have been difficult to understand, was it?
Well, I don't know. I might have had one then, but it sort of went. Yeah.
So why was it you left Devon to come to London?
Mr. Foster was the secretary of Saunton Golf Course. Mrs. Snell, who owned the golf course, was sort of like the great dictator, and he fell out with her and she sacked him. So that's when we came to London. There's no work in Devon, so we came to London.
You came with the family, did you?
I came, well, the sons were married.
Yes.
One lived in Hull, two of them lived in London. I suppose that's why we came to London.
You would have come at a difficult time, I imagine, wasn't the,
well, the bombing was on at the time.
So this would have been 1941, you thought?
Yeah.
Yes, 1941.
Beginning of 41.
Beginning of 41, yes. Yes, what experience did you have of the Blitz, Peter?
Well, I was sitting in the cinema and the roof came down. Put out fire bombs, so I know I worked in the East End.
What were you doing?
I was directed by the Labour Exchange into a job in Burdett Road, doing tailoring.
Would that have been tailoring for the services or for civilians?
It was, first of all, it was civilians, then it changed to the services. When I went there, there were five cutters. Four of them got called up. I was the only one left who was learning. Now, that boss, who was a pig, expected me to do the work of the fife. I was working from 7 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night, 7 days a week. When I took a day off, he took me to the Labour Exchange, which was across the road, and said, "I'm sabotaging the war effort." So I did no more. I went and volunteered for the army as soon as I was 18 to get out of that. On top of working those hours, I had to do fire watching 2 nights a week in the factory. So I volunteered for the army, was accepted, and joined the army in the end of 1941.
You were saying earlier that unlike others, you weren't interned.
No.
Was that a worry for you, that you might be, Peter?
No, didn't even think about it.
So when you went in the army, what group would you have gone with? Which regiment were you?
Well, first of all, we could only join the Pioneer Corps.
And what did you think of that, the Pioneer Corps?
Well, it was the army. The only thing is, they were all German again.
Were these a lot of refugees?
They were all refugees.
Yes. And what sort of training did you have on the Pioneer Corps?
Oh, we had proper army training. I mean, there was weapon training. There was it was like the ordinary army. I mean, I transferred later to the to an infantry regiment, and it was the same training.
What were you doing before you transferred to the infantry? What sort of postings were you sent on in the Pioneer Corps?
I was only in with the Pioneer Corps for about 3 months.
So it was a very short period.
That's right, yes. Because you had originally joined the Pioneer Corps, but you could volunteer to join other regiments.
Why did you volunteer for an infantry
group? I didn't. I was put in the infantry.
Were you happier there, though?
Yes, it was all right. You had good times, you had bad times.
Mm. Yeah. Yes, I suppose you were with more mixed group of troops, weren't you?
Yes, as with English
Yes.
troops.
And did you have, was that okay? You had good relations with the English boys?
I got on very well. I was like one of them.
I can imagine you'd get on very well with anyone, Peter.
Well, I don't know so much. Yeah.
Did you really want to do something against Nazi Germany?
No, to be quite honest, I joined the army to get out of the job I was in.
Well, it seems from what you've described that you were very exploited in that job
I mean, he expected me to do the work of five but get paid boys' wages.
What was he paying you for all that you were doing? Can you remember?
I think about £3 a week, something like that.
That would not have been a good wage, would it, in the war?
Well,
at that time?
That was I think, about the average wage in 1941. But with all the overtime, I worked 7 days a week, about 14 hours a day.
End of reel two.